Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, just the words that we just sang, Lord, lifting up our voices to you, what a mighty God we do serve. Father, all we have to do is just pay attention to what's going on around us. Lord, we see your hands at work, not only in our lives, but in lives that we watch and care about. And Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all things. And as we go this morning, I pray that you be with each and every Sunday school class. Father, you be with the pastor. Lord, be with the special music that's coming. And Lord, again, just pour your blessings out upon this body of believers. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we did, I'll just touch, you know, and I think we really learned a lot about what it means to be caring and humble. Well, this week, it's something that I think we can carry on. How many of us truly give thanks for the Lord and what He's done in our lives? I just want to read this introduction. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. This is on page 29. And last week we noticed that He was on His way to Jerusalem also. So this journey that He is on is exactly what God had planned. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, where He knew He would be crucified. The Gospel of Luke records substantial teachings and some miracles along the way. He traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, because Samaria was an area that Jews normally avoided. Jesus was entering a place of potential conflict. Let's go ahead and read. We'll read Luke 17, 11 through 19. And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when He saw them, He said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee well." Question number one. Mentally put yourself along that road into a village as Jesus approaches. You hear the cries of 10 lepers. What do they sound like? Any thoughts this morning?
Pitiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what I've gotten written down in my book. They were crying. They were heartbroken. They were missing their loved ones. They were missing society. And it was a pitiful cry. It was a cry that just crying out for mercy. You know, if you just put yourself in that place for a moment, you can almost hear these 10 men crying out for mercy. Any other thoughts this morning? If not, let's go to question two. Still standing by that road, how do you react to the voices of the lepers? Any thoughts? Absolutely, you're going to feel bad about it. If you've got any compassion at all, if you care anything about the human race, you're going to be saddened. You know, you're just going to see it. Now, in the Jewish tradition, a lot of times lepers were looked upon as sin-filled people. And I think it's something that, and I'm not debating this, but a good case of stern antibiotics would probably help. But at the time, people looked upon people who were stricken as something in their lives is not right. You're definitely going to stay afar, and that was part of the law, that these folks who were unclean had to stay away from those who were not affected. And it just, I'll tell you what it makes me think of, even in a larger scale, those who do not claim the name of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to be absent from God. Now think about that. Be absent from all the beauty that God has made. And you're going to be in a place where God has made for the devil and his angels. But that's true separation. So just think on a smaller scale what these 10 men were going through. They were separated from their families, from those who they loved. Never to have a hug of compassion, a greeting other than those whose faces may have been rotted away, their hands were truly deformed. I mean, it's just a terrible thing. And I think I would want to help. But then again, my own self would be, I want to help, but there's that word again, but. But, you know, I don't want to expose myself. I don't want to take this home to my loved ones, you know, because it was a contagious disease. You know, I can remember, and my daughter is a very compassionate person. She really is. But I can remember this old hillbilly going down to Savannah, Georgia. We really never walked the streets of a city like this, you know. And I can remember, you know, and I speak to everybody. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, good to see you, you know. She grabbed a hold of my shirt. She says, Dad, don't even make eye contact, you know, because these parks that were in Savannah were absolutely stuffed with homeless people. And, you know, like I said, an old hillbilly, hey, how you doing? Yeah, good to see you, you know. She was like, Dad, keep walking, you know, just keep walking. So I think we do. I think we grow to the point to where some of these homeless people truly, and please don't take this wrong, are truly in need. But some of them are pretty obnoxious. You know, it gets to that point to where I think you do. I think you kind of callous up a little bit. But to have compassion, don't ever lose that heartfelt compassion for mankind. You know, if you can't do anything else, you can always pray. So always keep that in the back of your mind. Question number 3 says, how did all 10 men show trust in Jesus? I think they cried out, right? They knew. Yes, you know, it's from a distance, but have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And I think it actually says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The rest of that question says, consider what they did both before Jesus reached them and after he spoke to them. You know, so many times you're asking for things that you would almost do anything to receive it. You know, and one of those things is probably salvation for loved ones. You know, but there's nothing I can do except pray. If I could, and I'm sure we're all in this, whatever we could do to save our loved ones, we're going to do. You know, and the best thing you can do is live your life in a way that honors Jesus Christ. You know, the same way those songs were this morning. You know, it's just, especially the first one. You know, it's just talking about Jesus and the Lord and it's just good stuff. She actually said that they were obedient enough and trusted enough that they did turn to go show the priest. So, but yes. And the law was very specific on what they were to do. And it's just amazing as they trusted in it. And again, he's on this road to the crucifixion. You know, last week we also heard about the blind man. And he knew that Jesus had done miracles, and he was on his way, never to pass that way again. And the same thing here. You know, I'm sure these 10 lepers had heard the works that Jesus had done. And from afar, they were crying out to him. Question 4 says, describe ways in which the Samaritan was different from the other 9. Notice both his actions and his inner attitude. You know, I think we're all here trusting Jesus Christ. That's above my pay grade, but I've seen the faithfulness. I've seen the fruit in your lives. To have that faith, to be thankful, and that's what this lesson is about. That when you go and you come to the Lord in prayer, yes, we're going to ask for things today, but what about giving thanks for the things that He did for us yesterday? You know, so many times, folks, there are some folks that, you know, they'll ask for things, and when God truly, because of His love, grants His mercy upon us, it's like, well, okay, God was faithful, let's move on to the next thing. Because we will need Him every day. You know, there's no doubt about that. So don't ever neglect to be thankful for what God has done. He got my old bones up out of bed this morning. And, you know, when you're my size, it takes a lot to stop this, but it also takes a lot to start it too. So I give thanks to God just to one foot in front of the other. Jews took great effort to go around a Samaritan village. You know, they really did. Let me read this, and then we'll get on with it. And I'm sure we understand, but I just want to touch this. I found it interesting. Who were the Samaritans? To explain the origins of the Samaritans, we must go back to the days of the kings. After King Solomon ruled over the Israelites, God's people, the unwise actions of his son Rehoboam in the 10th century BC led to a split or a division between the tribes of Israel, in which the kingdom was split into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, each with its own king. Both kingdoms devolved into corruption and sin, despite repeated warnings from prophets sent by God. Thus God warned they would be overtaken by conquerors. The northern kingdom fared worse than the southern kingdom, with a long line of wicked rulers. There was never a good king come from the northern kingdom. Never. Not one. Judah was almost as bad, but they did have a couple bright spots. It didn't help that the temple where God's people were to worship was located in the southern kingdom. So that was a little bit of animosity too. In 721 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel fell to the Assyrians. Many of the people of Israel were led off to Assyria as captives. But some remained in the land and intermarried with foreigners planted there by the Assyrians. These half-Jewish, half-Gentile people became known as the Samaritans. In 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah fell to the Babylonian Empire once and for all. As the walls of Jerusalem were breached, the temple was destroyed, and the city walls torn down. Samaritans are first mentioned in the Bible in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah in the 5th century BC. At this point, Babylon had given way to the Persian Empire. Nehemiah, a Jew, curried favor with the king and was able to return to Jerusalem to rebuild. However, the Samaritans remaining in the land opposed the rebuilding efforts and caused problems for Nehemiah and with his fellow workers. And you can read about that in Nehemiah 6:1-14. This was the beginning of a long-lasting hatred. And I'm saying hatred. It truly was hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. Just a little, how did they come about? So, question number 5. There are 2 loud voices in the passage. How were both loud voices expressions of faith? Of course, I think we covered it in the first question. I think there was a cry out for compassion, for mercy, for help. And this second one would make a Baptist take a lap. He realized just how merciful God truly was. And he wanted to give thanks. I tell this story. We had a wonderful, beautiful farm back in the state of West Virginia. And the mountaintop up on not like these mountains, but it was one of the highest points around. And I could literally see 35, 40 miles. And trust me, when you can see that far in West Virginia, you're on a high point. I would go up, and I had a border collie. And she would go with me every step of the way. And we would walk up there, and I'd take my Bible. And you could just look out. Not worshiping nature, but truly worshiping the one who made all things. And you just felt this peace and this comfort and this joy. And I'm telling you, there was many times I came off of that mountainside just at the top of my voice. And I thought, it's a good thing we're in the middle of 120 acres or the neighbors would be calling the police. But you ever get like that? I mean, you just get full of joy. You just got to shout, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. And that's just the way this second shouting was. I can just hear this man. Just for all of his pain and his suffering, the Bible doesn't tell us how long they were suffering with this leprosy. But leprosy is a dreaded disease. I mean, it truly rots your flesh from your body. And it's just horrible. And to see fingers healed and to know that, you know, you can touch your face and everything is getting better. And to just have this upwelling of joy and thankfulness, how could you not scream and shout? And there's so many things today, too, that people, and I'm sure we've all experienced it, you know, you witness, not in a way, but sometimes God will just open the door for you to, excuse me, but let me tell you about Jesus, you know? And some people want to hear it, and some people don't. And even some people, I think today, we've talked about this, that have truly proclaimed God and Jesus, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to tell us. You know, the last part of Matthew tells us, proclaim it to the world. Tell everybody you come in contact about this Jesus. You have to do it, you know, and like I said, sometimes your family is the hardest, you know, they don't want to hear it. And even those who proclaim, you know, it's like, you know, and I'm thinking, man, maybe you need to get a thicker prayer rug. But anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole. Question 6 says this, if it is appropriate to say that the Son of God could be surprised by anything, now again, this is, go along with it. What appears to surprise Jesus in verses 17 and 18? And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. I think he knew what was happening, but I'm sure there were many people around him. You know, and he used this, you know. Let's get the crowd thinking. And that's Jesus. And that's, you know, he would be asked a question, and it tickles me the way the pastor. Well, I've got a question for you, he'd say, you know. And I think Jesus was the same way. It made you think. And this book is the questions that Jesus asked. You know, I think it did. He did this. He knew. You know, again, I don't know what his mind thought was. You know, I don't know what God, he's God and we're not. You know, and I read this morning, you know, his thoughts are so much higher than ours. You know, that how could I? But absolutely, you know, he's in this crowd and he's trying to get people to understand. Weren't there 10 that had leprosy, but only one comes back to give thanks to God? I'll guarantee you it got the crowd thinking. It got the crowd wondering, well, where did those other 9 go? But then again, I read a commentary that one of them, whenever you read somebody's commentary, it's their thoughts, you know. But they were like, hey, we're God's chosen people. We just got what we deserved, and we're going to see the priest, you know. And I thought, well, the Samaritan is a human being too. And he's the one trusting and giving thanks to God, you know. Maybe he didn't think that it was his right to be healed. But there was a lot of folks that went to the grave that were Jews that died with leprosy. And there were a lot of Samaritans and Gentile people. But this one truly felt thankfulness. But the thing that we have, that the unsaved world doesn't have, is Jesus. And the thing that we have in our heart is thankfulness. Thankfulness. You know, we know what he did for us. He didn't have to do that. But if we were the only one, he would have done it anyway so that he could save us. That's the Savior. That's the difference between Christianity and all the other worldly religions. You know, they were following the letter of the law because I think Brother Fred said a while ago that there are specific directions of what you had to do when you had leprosy. You know, and that was you had to let the priest make the determination. Yeah, you know, you're unclean. Or through healing that, yes, you are now clean. And there was specific, isn't it wonderful? You know, I've been reading through the Old Testament too, of the sacrifices. Isn't it just amazing that we have Jesus Christ who did the sacrifice upon that cross, that shed his blood? If I was a pastor or a priest or whatever back in the days, I don't think I could keep straight how many, what kind of, when to do it. It's just amazing. You know, so to be thankful that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ that paid it all. He did all the heavy lifting. And all we have to do, a sister said a while ago, is be obedient. And it's hard. People say, yeah. No, that's hard. You know, I'm an old sinner saved by grace. And I stub my toe all the time. But it is hard. But I know that I have one sitting on the right hand of God the Father as my advocate. And I'm truly thankful for that. Question 7 says, when have you learned about gratitude to God from an unlikely person? And all of the troubles and trials that Corey went through, she had to be one of the most honest people I've ever read about. You know? Yeah, it's just amazing. You know, it's amazing. My thought is this. I love the time when people give their own personal testimony. That's when you learn about people. You learn about the struggles that they've had. From unlikely, you know, you might look at a person and think, you know, I don't know much about that person. But in the end, if they're truly a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, they had the same come-to-Jesus time that we all had, which binds us together. I think you can learn a lot about a personal testimony because it's yours. And not one person can take that away from you. That's your personal walk with Jesus Christ. And nobody can take that away. That's what separates us from the world is our personal walk. You learn more about somebody by witnessing to them. And just to listen to their story, because you don't know how their day's going. You don't know how far their journey has been, how tough it is. But until you listen and start a conversation by witnessing to somebody, and listen, the Holy Spirit will open the door. And if you don't follow up, you're going to miss a blessing. And that blessing is going to come to somebody else. I may walk by the person even though I'm being prompted to speak to this person and start up a conversation. I may walk right on by. You know, you just don't know. And then Fred comes along and he starts up this conversation. He's going to get the blessing. God's got a plan. He's got a plan. And it's going to be followed. And if you're obedient to the Holy Spirit at the prompting, what a blessing to know somebody personally and heartfelt, you know, to go through what they're feeling, to go through the road that they're traveling. And maybe you can help take the stone out of their shoe that's causing that discomfort. That's the wonderful thing about God. Question 8 says, why do you think the other 9 lepers neglected to return and thank Jesus? I think you kind of said it a while ago, that they were told to go. And if they were truly Jewish people living by the law, hey, I was told to go. You know, Brother Don said, you know, that's part of it. You know, that may have been their thought. Just go, you know, and get out of my way because I'm going to see the priest, you know. As you took off traveling down the road to see the priest, I think as you each step you took, I think you could feel, you could see, you knew something was happening. And again, you know, he told me to go. If he started this work in me, I want to see it finished. But aren't we like that today? He started a work in us. And he's going to see us through. If we're truly born again believers in Christ, he's got us in the palm of his hand. And he's going to work in our lives. The Holy Spirit's going to lead us, guide us. Just be thankful. Be thankful that we have a Lord that loved us that much, that he gave it all so that we might live. When are people most likely to remember to thank God? Question 9 says. Like I said this morning, to get this big old boy up and moving, I'm thankful for that. You know, that's a thing that we take for granted. You know, and we're going to run out of time, so I just kind of want to... Does anybody have anything that they really want to talk about in 10, 11, or 12? Anything at all? Folks, let's just leave with this. And I'm sure you know people that when you pray with them, and God works not because we're anything special, but God works in their life, and there's answered prayer. My hope is always that they take this and build upon it and trust Jesus even more. But there's so many times that I've heard people say things and make promises, and their prayers are fulfilled. Maybe there's a healing in their family. Maybe a child comes home, something. But they don't follow through with what they told God they were going to do. And that is truly heartbreaking, you know. Live your life daily in the Word of God. He'll speak to you. And listen to people. But most of all, let those people see that you're truly thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will speak more volume than anything that we could ever say, to give thanks to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this day, and thank you for brothers and sisters like-minded, Lord, to just come and to help carry a burden maybe that somebody else may have. Father, that's what's so wonderful about coming together in a church family. Lord, you never know how you will use us to be a blessing to a brother or sister. Father, again, all things are done for your glory. Father, we pray that for the rest of this service that you will be glorified. And Father, watch care over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.